shadowed by Westby. If the Spurs will foul, they will not. Foy will dribble it out. OKC is punched its ticket to the Western Conference Finals for the fourth time in six seasons. The Thunder have slayed 67 wins. Southwest Division champion Goliath, San Antonio.
Obviously, the outcome did not come in your favor, but...
That's obvious, yes.
Yeah.
You're right on it, as usual.
You happy with the fight that your team showed in the fourth
Happy's
quarter?
Happy's not a word that,
I'm
that
sorry.
Really
you, are you,
does
are you,
for me.
What do you think turned the series around for them after game one?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not that smart. We just lost. Ask Billy. He'll figure it out.
You have any regrets about not going smaller earlier?
No. Are you coaching now? You should try not to do that.
I know that. Try not to Learned do that a long time ago.
Right before the fourth quarter, I noticed you were talking to Tim for a while. You might want to share what you said to him and just what it meant.
Really? Really? You think I'm going to share what I spoke to Tim about?
Well, there's a chance.
I guess you got to ask.
You got to shoot the shot.
You
got to
ask, exactly. It doesn't go in unless you shoot it.
Got to shoot it.
No, I'm not going to tell you.
So the Thunder move on. What's next for the Spurs? A lot more to get to. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master, back in studio. Voldemort keeping us on air out here at Sam Houston Race Park for the closing weekend of quarter horse racing. They're also racing Monday, but it's the closing weekend of quarter horse racing. So once again, back at the old stomping grounds, and it's kind of amazing because it just seems like we were just here kicking off the thoroughbred meet, and now we're doing the last one. But anyway, if you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. Best to use that for the text line. It's kind of hard for us to take calls from our own location. So you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. And, of course, you can text the show to the number we've already given out. And it's a Friday. Let's have some fun today. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. What's going on with you?
Horse racing, which is kind of sports and stuff. And I got here a little early so I could do some show prep because I had to run some errands today. I sit down, I run into a friend of mine who, you know, basically he doesn't get out of the back very much. He runs all the TVs here. And so I hardly ever see him anymore. So we're just chatting, and an old man walks up to us. I mean, a really old man. Says, excuse me. Yes, sir. Can you get me home? We're like, well, I can call Get Me for you. I mean, that's one way we can get you home. And he's like, oh, I have my car. I'm like, okay, and I mean, this guy was really old. I'm surprised somebody let him behind the wheel anyway. And
was he drunk?
I don't know if he was just drunk or old, but he was very slow, okay? And so we start asking, he tells us where he lives, which is not too far. It's basically you just take the Beltway. And so we're giving him instructions, and it's, how do I get to the Beltway from here? And I go, well... Okay, that's so we're having to walk this.
If you can't find the Beltway from here.
From the parking lot at Sam Houston Race Park, I'm not sure you should be behind the wheel. So, and then the worst part is he walks outside, and so I'm sitting in here talking to Voldemort before the show, and I look and I see him walk to the left, and then I look up again and he's walking back to the right, and then I look up again and he's walking back to the left. I'm like, you know what? I don't think we have to worry about him finding his car to hurt anybody in. So, anyway, that's how my day started off.
Sorry to hear that.
It was amusing at least. But it's funny because obviously the first thing everybody wants to talk about is you know, Pop's reaction last night. I'd kind of rather talk about just how damn good the Thunder were in this series. To go in and beat that team in San Antonio and to really dominate last night's game, I got to tell you, they caught me totally by surprise. I didn't see this coming, but that was a very impressive performance.
A dominating performance. And really, the Spurs played in the fourth quarter. That was the only part of the game they showed up. I mean, it was like a 45-15 run to finish the second or to finish the first half, and just just domination is all you can call it. And really, I mean, you look at game one, and game one, the Spurs embarrassed the Thunder, and you beat a team by 30, 40 points in a playoff game, and that's how you're pacing the series. You think, this could get ugly. Kudos to the Thunder for not curling up into a ball, and those guys just played their asses off for the rest of the series. And you know, we don't get the matchup that we've been kind of anticipating all season long, that Spurs-Warriors matchup, but
right,
it's hard to say that you're not getting the best team, because right now the Thunder just look like a better team.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they match up with the Warriors, and now all we're left for is waiting to see who's going to play the Heat on the other side, and we'll have those Final Four set. But I was impressed by this team. I don't know that they can beat the Warriors, but I do know that if Kevin Durant and Westbrook are going off, then they can win some games in that series, and they can throw a scare into them. It'll be very interesting.
I don't know if I don't know. Everyone seems to think that now all of a sudden, because of what they did to the Spurs, that they've got a real shot at it. I don't think so. I don't think the Spurs had a real shot. I think that the Thunder can win a game or two, but I don't think they can beat this team.
I think it depends on Steph Curry's health. If Steph Curry's out there playing like Steph Curry, then, yeah, they can win a game or two. Probably not going to win the series. If Steph Curry's out, then I think this is a team that can take advantage of the Warriors without Steph Curry. And, you know, so far so good. He looks like he's back, but, you know, it's easy to re-aggravate these things, and we'll see. But I think it's going to be an entertaining series, and a much more entertaining series than Spurs-Warriors would have been the way the Spurs went out. So what do you think of your buddy Popovich's reaction there?
It's probably exactly what I would have anticipated.
I mean, that's been him his entire career,
that is
right?
Him.
And it's always – and honestly, I think in his mind he's being funny on a lot of these.
I don't think so.
Last night I don't think he was. I think he was really –
he's not
really
trying to make jokes last night.
No, he's just like – yeah. And that act that he has, it does come off as kind of amusing when you're the team that's always winning. But when you just got your ass kicked, you kind of look like a jerk. And, you know, I know that's what he always does, but maybe just show a little bit of humility. Oh, you're coaching now? It's like, well, it'd been a good job, good idea if you had last night, Coach.
Yeah.
That's a comeback I would have had. But I do think it's interesting that's the story all over every website. And
that's not a story. Greg Popovich is that same way all the time. And, you know, Josh says Thunder were gifted two wins by the refs last night, just missed open shots, Golden State in five. They caught some breaks in that series for sure. I don't want to say they were gifted by the refs.
Yeah, that's a little unfair.
They hung with that team at every turn. And they missed shots last night. They missed a bunch of shots in game two. They missed a bunch of shots that they normally don't miss. I'm with you. I think Golden State in five is probably my prediction.
I'm going to go six. I think they win two games. I don't see it going any more than that, though.
Okay.
So, but you know what? I think there'll be some close games in there. And really, to say they were gifted wasn't fair. I think there were bad calls there at the end. I think we saw those. But they're also consistent with what's been called at every game so far. And, you know, even with that, the Spurs had their chances. So did they get some breaks? Yeah, but you better get some breaks. But when you win in six, it's kind of hard to make excuses. It really is.
I mean, the Spurs lost two home games.
Yeah.
And that's, you can't do that.
And really, in both games, they had under control and let it get away from them, too. So I just the better team won the series. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. That's the best way to do it. What did I miss about this Rockets rally thing?
You didn't miss anything.
Okay.
The Rockets rally for Kenny Smith consisted of 12 people with printed out signs from their personal printers at home saying, Kenny Smith, please come coach this trash can of a team.
Use the words trash can, really?
I think they did. Okay. And they waved them around.
They use actual trash cans?
Outside. No, it's hot outside. That'd be too heavy. They waved them around to fan themselves, and I think they believe that's going to bring Kenny Smith to quit his the job that he's got now, which is a good job.
And with a lot of security.
Right. And he's going to leave that job and take a job where they fire you 11 games after you were in the Western Conference Finals. So
leave a job where he's actually pretty good at what he does for one that we have no clue whether he's going to be any good or not.
Right. That's
and probably
that's what they're asking
that
him
much
to do.
More money. Okay. I was really sorry I missed us. I was
with
out.
Way more pressure and way more stress.
Yeah.
You know,
and more travel. I mean, heck, the way they're set up now, I'm really sorry I missed that because I was going to send my drone out and get photos of this rally. This
sorry.
Incredible rally, but
no,
I was out of pocket.
I don't think the rally was too
was
too big.
Oh well. So there's your basketball news for the show. How do you think?
I heard John and Raheel talking today from Uberito, and I heard them discussing whether how this job ranks, how the Rockets job ranks amongst jobs that are out there.
Well, there's not as many available now.
No. But just based on roster,
yeah.
I mean, is this a? Do you think this is a good roster? Do you think this is a roster that a coach looks at and goes, "Okay, I see. I got something to work with here."
I think a coach sees this and says, "I have one superstar who I've got to get to play well, and then we've got to hit reset on everything else on this damn roster." Which, yeah.
And that one superstar is a guy that, man. Is he a guy that you can even add parts around to?
Well, and that comes down to how cocky you are as a coach. If you look at this guy and say, you know what, I can get the right pieces around him, I can win with this guy, then it's appealing. If you look at him and say, man, this guy's a headache, I don't want any part of it, then that subtracts an awful lot of points. I think it just depends on you as a coach what you think. So.
Well, I don't look at this as an appealing job at this point. The roster outside of James Harden is unsettled at best. I don't even know if you can say, you know what, I'm really happy with this guy as a starter on my team outside of James Harden. And if that's the case, I was saying, I texted Raheel, I said, that job in Orlando to me where you've got Oladipo and Aaron Gordon and Vucevic, to me that's you've got a better core of talent than what you've got here in Houston.
Yeah,
and you've got a team that won 10 more games than they did a year ago and is on the rise versus a team that fell way the hell off and is now losing most of their roster.
Oh, there's a lot to be said for an owner who's not afraid to go spend money, which is what...
Yeah, but it's a salary cap league, and
it
know,
is,
at some point you've got to make good decisions.
Well, it's a salary cap league now where the cap's about to go way up, and you're going to
have spending money
more.
On Dwight Howard a good decision?
Got him to the conference finals one year, so it worked. I mean, you have
if that's the goal, then all right.
That's a better goal than not getting into the playoffs or making the first round, which they've done for years.
Okay.
So you can't tell me that wasn't a success.
If that's a success, then why do you fire your coach 11 games into the next season?
I didn't fire the coach.
Why are you looking at me? Well, I'm just saying that's from a management standpoint, it seems like you don't know what a success is in Houston. And if I'm a coach, I don't know that I want to work in a situation like that.
I also think if you know a little bit about McHale, you probably understand why he got fired. I certainly wouldn't have done
I thought
it.
They should have fired him before he got to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think he can coach. But yeah. The reality is once a guy gets to the Western Conference Finals, you got to give him more than 11 games before you can.
It all comes down to how cocky and how confident the next coach is that he can come in and work with James Harden and deal with all this. That's what it comes down to. It's not whether I like the job or you like the job. It's whether or not a guy can come in and say, you know what, I can win with this. We'll see if that guy's out there. I'm not sure he is. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park. It is closing weekend of quarter horse racing. So
does that make you sad? Does that give you a sad?
A little bit. I mean, I get more sad at the end of thoroughbred racing.
Well, but at least at the end of thoroughbred racing,
you know
there's more racing.
You still know you've got live racing, yeah. And it just goes by too fast. I mean, we start this thing in January, and here we are, second week of May, and that's it. No more live racing until next January. But so quarter horses all weekend. It should be fun. They got the food trucks out here tonight.
Yes.
So big fan of the food trucks, as you guys know. So and then the Roger Krieger.
Krieger
concert, whatever it is. I'll get it right
on,
one of these
dude.
Days. See, I think of Krieger from Archer. That's why.
All right.
I see that, and that's what I think. So, Krieger, we got it. So that's tonight as well. And live racing again tomorrow night, and, of course, on Monday to wrap things up. And I'm not going to win the quarter horse meet. I'm going to lose.
Oh, no.
I'm going to lose for only the third time in 107 horse racing meets here. So. And all three times have been quarter horses, interestingly enough.
Sorry.
So, you know what? That's all right. It's been one of those meets.
Who's the champion?
Tom, the track announcer, is going to beat me.
How'd that other guy do? The new
he
guy?
He doesn't do quarter horses.
Okay, so, good. Did he beat you in the...
No.
Oh, good.
No. So, I mean, I crushed the thoroughbreds, which... but, yeah, it's one of those where they carted a lot of races that I'm not very good at. I'm much better at races for older horses and fewer two-year-old races. So there were a lot of two-year-old races this meet, and I'm just not good at those. So if you're out here using my tip sheets, please keep that in mind.
That this isn't your forte.
That, yeah, this has just not been my meet, and don't.
Would you also say maybe that you're due? You're due for a bounce back?
Oh, God, yeah, I'm due for a bounce back, certainly. But
so maybe tonight is the night to follow your
picks. Actually,
tips.
Tonight and tomorrow night, I do like my picks.
Okay.
So maybe you know, ride with me one last time and see what happens. But anyway, so yeah, that's it. They're going to be wrapping up, and it's always a little bit sad because, you know, I mean, it's such a great facility, and this is it. This is all the live racing we get until January. But it will, they'll be back, and it's been a fun meet. I love coming out here. I'm pretty sure I'm out here next Saturday for the Preakness also. No live racing, but we'll have the Preakness, and we'll watch Nyquist go 2-for-2 and threaten to do it all over again. Okay, we need dust in the wind for your Predators.
Oh, boy.
That did not go well.
Well, it's like I said, there's two things that could happen. The Predators will go to overtime and win a game that they probably didn't deserve to win.
Yeah.
Or they will get trucked. And I've been preferring the games where they go to overtime and win games that they shouldn't have won.
Those are more fun for you, I know.
But last night was one of the other ones where they just got trucked. And
it was kind of a shame because their two great defensemen were awful last night. Roman Josi and Shea Weber were just terrible. I mean, they gave up goals. I think they were on the ice for every goal. And those are your two stud defensemen. And so it really wasn't on the goalie. I could see how frustrated he was at the end when they took him out, which was kind of a mercy takeout. But
I would have wanted out of that thing.
Yeah, too. And you see him smash his stick.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for being frustrated, but... what killed them was the Sharks came out with a lot of energy. They didn't respond, and when your two best defensemen, two guys who are among the best in the league, play like two guys who should be in the AHL, my goodness, you're not going to win. And it's a shame because I think the great run from the Predators, I'm very intrigued by this matchup between the Blues and the Sharks. So these are two very good hockey teams that have finally gotten over the hump. I think I might lean Sharks a little bit in this one. It's going to be close, though. I think it's going to be one of those one-goal series when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I don't really care anymore. I don't care who wins, but I hope we get a game seven, and I hope there's some overtime. I'd be okay with that.
Well, you know what? That over five goals play has been working really well, too. So you've got some betting interest. And then game one of the East tonight, I'm also very excited about that. I think that's going to be a close one, too. But I think we're going to get Penguins and Sharks, and that would be – if it's Penguins Sharks or Penguins Blues, I'd be excited about either one of those.
Yeah.
I don't really want to see the Lightning in there again. Sorry, Lightning fan. I know you both are going to be ticked off at me, but that's life. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Can we talk about another sport?
We can talk about any other sport you want, and that's it. That kind of covers the hockey. I really have nothing else to add at this point.
Can we play Dust in the Wind for Dallas Keuchel? He died on the mound last night.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't see that. He did.
I quit watching when it got to like 6-0, which is, I think, what I predicted, or 6-1, I believe it was at the time. And yeah,
I'm guessing when Sports Illustrated and some local media folk pick the Astros to be in the World Series or win the World Series.
I did not.
They did not anticipate a 5.58 earned run average from Dallas Keuchel, because that's not very Cy Young-like.
Well, I mean, I guess if you...
I would honestly, last night, I think Cy Young's corpse would have had better success against the Red Sox.
I think you could have trotted him out, even as a skeleton. I think he does better than eight runs in six innings.
I think so.
So,
yeah. I mean, he just got I don't know what was going on.
Well, you could kind of point to his control in the other starts, and then he started. But this, he was just throwing fat pitches that they were just ripping. So I don't know what the answer is. And you know, somebody was asking me, are they done? And it's like, well, if he pitches like this, yeah, they're done. I mean, honestly, it really doesn't matter what else his team does. If your ace,
and he's the unquestioned ace.
If he continues at the pace he's at with an ERA over 5, and, well, he's 2-5 right now, so let's say 6-15 or something, then this is a team that's going to be in the running for the number one pick again, not the playoffs and certainly not the World Series.
It's pretty amazing that one guy can have that much of an impact. But, I mean, he was their stopper last year.
And that was the thing that was so – you always could count on him every 4 days. No matter how bad things were going, you knew you were going to get a good outing. And that makes a huge difference, because now it gives a guy like that can change an entire rotation, because suddenly everybody else has less pressure on him. Colin McHugh can go out there and just and throw more curveball, because he doesn't have to worry, because he knows that, you know, Keuchel pitched the night before, you got to win. It does feed on itself, and in a bad way too, and that's what you're seeing.
You know, and
everybody's pressuring.
The other thing is, I mean, you could say, well, they were against the Red Sox last night. Okay, you could go with that. You could also say the Rangers beat him up in Arlington. All right. Well, the Twins and the Mariners also roughed him up, and those aren't good lineups.
No.
You know, so he's got a 7. His ERA is over 7. His WHIP is over 1.73 on the road this season. 15 walks, 27 strikeouts. That's just an unacceptable ratio.
Yeah, and I know we're a month in, and it's too early to panic, but you know what? Those numbers are going to be with you all year. So in order for him to – I mean, he's going to have to go on a ridiculous tear here, even to just get, you know, get to where he's got a respectable ERA again. And, again, I don't see anything missing. Maybe there's a shoulder problem we don't know about. I mean, his velocity seems to be the same.
It's slightly down. He's down about a mile and a half per hour from last year
and
on fastball velocity.
You know what? You can live with that if you're spotting your pitches everywhere else.
And that's what he's not doing. Yeah. Last year, his walk rate was under 2 per 9 innings. This year, almost 4 per 9 innings. So he's walking basically twice as many people as he did last year.
And, you know, 3 more walks last night. He just didn't walk guys last year. So,
well, it's not going to get any better. His next start's against the White Sox.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah, and I always say it's too early to panic, but it's not too early to be concerned. And this is a trend that I think is just going on too far. You know what? Another trend that has probably gone on too long is not using ZipRecruiter if you're hiring. If you're hiring, you got to post your job where you can find the best candidates, and putting it in one place just isn't enough. You want the perfect hire? You need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter. All with a single click, you can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
Yep, no juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by over 800,000 businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/play.
ESPN 97.5.
This is
a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Robert on text line asked, when can we stop saying it's still early for the Astros? I feel like we did the same thing
first the number.
With the Rockets for the first 2 months. Actually, we didn't do the same thing for the Rockets for the first 2 months. So
I knew pretty quickly the Rockets were crap.
Yeah, I think
that, and I got a good feeling the Astros are too, but I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt because...
Well, like I said, June 1st is always kind of the... It's usually, you know, at least a third of the way into the season. You've got kind of a judge of what your team's going to be, and that's when I think you can judge it and look at it because... If they go on a 10-game winning streak here before the first, then they're going to be right back close to 500, and they're going to be saying, "Oh, all right, maybe they have a chance." I don't see that coming, but it's the kind of thing that happens this early in the season.
The problem is when, and you know, a week ago there were some Astros fans who were starting to feel a little bit hopeful, and things were looking better for the Astros. But then when you really start thinking about it, and you realize that. Well, that was against the Twins and the Indians.
And you're still only winning two out of three. You need to be sweeping one of those here. And
right.
There, you know?
Then it's like, well, okay, now we're playing the Red Sox and the White Sox and the Rangers. And suddenly...
Teams that can hit.
Yeah, you don't look as good.
It's a pitching staff that's not pitching very well.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence. I mean, even bad teams will occasionally beat other bad teams. And I don't know if the Astros are... officially a bad team yet.
No, but they're playing like a bad team.
They're playing like a bad team.
There's no doubt about that. I don't think you can dance around that. Doesn't mean that they are a bad team. It just means they're playing like one. We see that every year. That's why I don't – yeah, it's so hard to start formulating opinions about baseball teams this early in the season. And you know, sometimes you can tell when they're going to be better than you think, but it's hard when a team's scuffling here because everybody goes through these stretches at some point, and it just so happens that sometimes at the first of the year. But I just see so many negative signs that point towards, I don't see them coming out of this.
Yeah.
And that's always the concern. See, you have a cover guy for Madden 17?
Yeah, I did. You think that's warranted?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I think
so. Gronk?
Yeah. Gronk will be your cover guy. And I always buy it every year, so... Doesn't really matter to me who's on the cover. I don't really believe in the curse. But I like that. I think Gronk is probably one of the most fun non-quarterback players in the league. I would like to have been on that party boat. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think we all would have, right? So I will go ahead and say Gronk, worthy candidate for the video game.
Okay.
Are we all in agreement on that?
I don't think there's any disagreement.
Okay. Well, I got nothing else for you.
I got nothing else for you. Either. We'll see if he breaks his leg. Then we'll.
If he snaps his leg, it's like, oh, don't do it, Gronk. Don't do it. I have some good news for you on Jadeveon Clowney, who I think I'm on record as saying if he doesn't have a first-round pick kind of year, I mean, I'm not saying first overall pick, but first-round pick kind of year, then it's official that he's a bust. I mean, this will be 3 years. Nothing near what you were expecting. So I think this is the big year for him. Would you agree or disagree with that statement?
I think this is a year where he has to prove something. I do agree with that. Mostly, I mean, I don't even know if he has to be a great player. I just think he has to be a solid player and show that you can stay on the field. He needs to play 14 games at least.
And be an above-average player out
yeah.
there. Not just
contribute.
An average player. Yeah, not just an average player, but a guy who... You know, makes the occasional game-changing play and doesn't embarrass himself.
And the great thing is J.J. Watt takes so much pressure off everyone else on that defensive front. I mean, you don't even have to put up sack numbers necessarily. You just have to occasionally open things up for someone else to get a sack. You have to force other teams to consider your presence. You know, I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's all it really takes when you've got a guy like J.J. Watt on your team because – he attracts so much attention that if anyone else draws any attention, then there's somebody who's going to get straight
right,
to the quarterback.
Right, and
because you almost have to double-team J.J. at this point.
Yeah, and sometimes they triple-team him, and that's what you should do. Make somebody else beat you because so far that other guy hasn't stepped up. Now, and what you're saying is absolutely 100% right. If Clowney can step up where they have to double-team him, Well, who cares if Clowney and Watt never make a tackle because you've got two guys running around out there who should be able to make plays, theoretically. Well, according to USA Today's Stephen Ruiz, he has pegged Jadeveon Clowney as one of his 10 players destined for a breakout season in 2016.
Okay.
I mean, that's not like a super bold prediction. Because,
yeah.
I mean, we all know the guy's got the talent to do something like that. It's just
and
a
he
matter
is, of... He's now a year removed from microfracture, which I think, you know, makes a big difference because now, theoretically, he should be healthy and preparing for the season and not worried about rehab in addition to getting healthy for the season. I don't think that's a stretch to put him there, but I also think the flip side of this is if he doesn't have a breakout season, then I think it's safe. We can all safely say that that was a bust pick.
I think so. This is the year where it's like, all right, are you going to do it or are you not?
Because even if he comes along next year and he's a better player, if he doesn't give you anything this year, now you're talking about 3 years into a contract where you drafted the guy first. Would you like to hear some of his other breakout guys?
Sure.
Quentin Rollins of the Packers.
All right.
Cornerback. Clive Walford, tight end for the Raiders.
Okay.
Clowney is his third guy. And
I like that he didn't just go with, you know, underperforming high draft picks.
Like,
that would have been
like Clowney, yeah. Preston Smith, Redskins.
Redskins linebacker.
Yeah. Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Dolphins.
Good luck with that.
I think the problem is the quarterback.
The problem isn't the receivers.
Okay, this one, I think he already broke out a little bit at the end of last year. Coney Ealy of the Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's already a breakout guy, wouldn't you say so?
I think so.
I mean, that playoff run. Teddy Bridgewater, okay, that's...
I know you like that one.
I do, but again, I'm not sure that's fair because he has started for 2 years. I mean, I do think he needs to take another big step.
Well, that's what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the year where he
breaks out and
becomes a star. Yeah.
Talvin Smith, linebacker, Jaguars.
All right.
And finally, David Johnson, running back, Cardinals.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone knows no Cardinals running back is going to stay healthy.
You can't be a star. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But, Clowney on that list, it makes sense. I mean, but I'll believe it when I see it. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mad Llama wants to know, do you think JJ will ever get a Madden cover?
I'm actually kind of surprised he hasn't.
Yeah, I would think, especially if he does it again this year, he gets a cover.
I mean, who else? What other defensive players have they put on that cover? Ray Lewis? Who else?
I remember Ray Lewis. I don't know. It's been a while. I remember Lewis was the special edition one.
Richard Sherman.
So.
Oh, Richard Sherman was on it pretty recently. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So. I bet he's.
How's Vince Young had a Madden cover and J.J. Watt hasn't?
He did have a pretty good rookie year.
Peyton Hillis has had a Madden cover.
Okay, well, white running back. He went nuts.
He was a unicorn.
Yeah.
And J.J. Watt hasn't. I don't get that.
So, Watt said, someone has to step up as Mercer and a human with 12 sacks, and no, they were not coverage sacks. You know what? I would recommend you go back and look again at where Merciless got his sacks. He got 3 against the Chiefs in week 1, 3.5 against the Jags in week 2, 3.5 against the Titans, and 2 more against the Jags. So almost all of his sacks came in 4 games.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean he didn't have a good season. He did, but, you know, theoretically, that's a guy who would get freed up more and would get more opportunities. But, I mean, he had a good year, but just a little statistically misleading because he feasted on an awful lot of Jag and Titan.
Well, I guess somebody's got to beat those teams.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's also, and again, nothing wrong with 12 sacks. Just JJ kind of did some of that too, by the way.
Troy Polamalu, the other defensive player that was on a cover once.
Yeah. So, anyway, what do we got here?
My computer career, John. All right. And listen, some of you guys might be struggling, hating work today. Maybe you're at a job that's making you work too many hours or keeping you out in the heat. It's going to keep you out in the heat all summer, and you're already dreading it. Maybe you're just not making enough money. Ask yourself this. How many people do you know working in the computer field that are struggling to pay their bills? Not if they're in IT, because there's a ton of jobs out there, computer jobs. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest-growing job industries in the country. The place to go to get the skills you need, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired. Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. Companies all over the city hiring IT guys. But to get these jobs, you've got to have the skills and certifications. Obviously, going back to school can help you move up in your career, but going to college takes a long time, right? You've got a family to support, mortgage, car payments. Not with my Computer Career. You're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. What do you have to lose? Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and finally making that money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Don't miss the last weekend of live racing at Sam Houston Race Park. We're going to broadcast live until 7. It's Food Truck Friday and 50 Cent Beer Night from 6 until 9. So only an hour and 14 minutes away from 50 Cent Beer. On Saturday, the Bud Light stage welcomes Roger Craiger. Admission is free with $7 live racing admission before 8 and $20 after 9. Or get your tickets online for $14. Don't miss Food Truck Friday and Roger Craiger back at Sam Houston Race Park on Saturday. Live next week is Alabama on the Bud Light stage.
Just nice.
You know how I know that?
Because there's a sign.
There's
right
a
there.
Sign right here that tells me it. Tickets on sale now with special guest Ryan Bingham.
Ryan Bingham was the guy that opened for Willie Nelson at the concert I went to last month after Merle Haggard died.
Hmm. So was he as good as Merle Haggard?
That's a negative, but he was all right.
They talk a lot like this?
I didn't hear him talk. I just heard him sing.
Did he sing a lot like this?
No.
Because I think sometimes...
He's a younger gentleman.
Oh, okay. 409 says, thought I'd let you know that Pro Flowers and Cherry's berries totally came through.
Nice.
She loved it. I had flowers on Saturday and Sunday, surprised her with the berries. Thanks, guys. That's the kind of story we like to hear. That makes our day, at least my day. So I was a little confused by our breaking news from ESPN 97.5 Houston. See if this would confuse you. Breaking, Astros top shortstop prospect Alex Bregman will make his first start at third base tonight.
In the minor leagues.
Right. Well, it says, will he be with the big team soon? See, my first thought reading that was, hey, wait a minute. They called him up?
No.
He's in the minor leagues playing third. All right.
I mean, you got a shortstop, you got a second baseman for the foreseeable future.
That's something you should have done, frankly.
That's what I'm saying. I would have had him playing third base from day one.
Yeah. How's A.J. Reed doing down there?
I've heard not all that well.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm mistaken. I haven't gone and checked his minor league numbers, but I've heard that it's not going great for A.J. Reed in the minors.
This is a .229 average. He does have six homers and 21 RBIs.
So you're saying he's like a triple A Brett
17
Wallace.
Walks, 26 strikouts.
Okay.
So Chris Carter. Yeah, let's Chris Carter slash John Singleton slash
Brett Wallace.
Slash Evan Gattis.
All of them.
Luis Valbuena.
Tucker.
Yeah. Yeah, fill in the blank. Anyway, so there you go. Maybe there's some hope for third base down the pipe just a little bit. I don't know if I want to save this until 5 o'clock or get into it now. Yeah, I do want to clarify something because I don't know if Lamont misunderstood us. We're talking about Merciless. Somebody needs to step up. I was saying that if Clowney's getting double-teamed and Watt's getting double-teamed, there are going to be guys who are freed up. And he had a good season last year, but that's a guy who could have an even better season.
Yeah.
And Brian Cushing could have a better season. I think Bernardrick McKinney. I mean, those are guys that should get the opportunity to get after the quarterback and make plays simply because the other guys are tied up. And if Merciless plays like he did last year, he's probably going to get more attention too. And you can't pay attention to everybody. And that's when you start having a really good defense, and that's what we saw with the Broncos last year. I used to use Pro Football Focus for a lot of stuff, and I've kind of slowly just
You've moved away from them.
I've moved away from it quite a bit. I mean, I still look at it for offensive linemen sometimes. But when you really dive into their analytics, so much of it's subjective that it's hard to take their hard data and say, oh, this is accurate, because there's so many subjective ways to interpret what happens on the field and how you score things. So I'm not totally out on them, but I sure take things with a grain of salt. But we'll do this at the top of the 5 o'clock. They did their top 101 NFL players list.
Okay.
And based purely on the numbers and how guys did. It's the names that aren't on the list that you kind of just shake your head.
Okay.
I'm going to, just a little tease, I'm going to give you one name that did not make the list.
Of the top 101 best players?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with a guy who I thought had a really good rookie season for the Kansas City Chiefs, Marcus Peters.
I like Marcus Peters.
Had a pretty damn good year, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Did not make their list. He is probably the least name of the ones that I am going to throw out here when we come back.
I mean, I'll put it this way. If you think about it like this, if there's 32 NFL teams, if you're doing a top 100 list, that means you're averaging about three players per team.
Right.
And
is he one of the best three?
I don't know yet. I mean, I don't think it's egregious that he's left off. I like him. I think he's going to be very good.
All right, let me give you a better name, because I was trying to give you somebody that you might say, wow, I can't believe he left him off. But I don't want to give you the really big, big names.
Okay.
All right. How about Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley is the best player on the – well, best player offensively on the Rams, and it's not even close. I'd probably have Todd Gurley on that list.
All right. How about DeMarcus Ware? This stage, kind of iffy?
He's questionable at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm saving the big news.
Save the list. Save the list. Don't blow it.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
By the way, quick television note. For those of you who are concerned about such things, Banshee tonight is the...
penultimate episode.
Is second to last episode in the history of the show. I confirmed with our boy Matty Roach Burton on the show. He is going to do the show next Friday before the finale. Should be sometime in the 5 o'clock hour, and kind of talk. He said, when I was texting with him today, he said, expect to see a lot more Burton tonight.
Yeah, I would think so. Simply because
there wasn't much of him in the last episode.
No, and Kai's running out of guys to do bad things, and
yeah,
he's what he has left. So yeah, I would expect a lot of him either tonight or next week. All right, let's guess. Odds our man survives the last two episodes.
Dude, if he survived that fight last year, I mean, I think he's going to survive. I think he'll make it.
I think it comes down to, do you think Kai is going to win or lose? If Kai loses, then I think he's dead.
I think Kai loses, but Burton lives.
Okay. I'm gonna think...
Okay, let's just go through the characters real quick, and you tell me who lives or dies over the next two episodes.
Okay, yeah, we have two episodes to kill these off.
Do you think the mystery man sheriff, like the main character of the entire show, do you think he lives?
Lucas Hood?
Yes. He's not Lucas Hood, but he's...
Well, whatever his name is, yes, he lives.
Okay. Do you think that Job lives?
Yes. Can't kill Job.
Do you think Kai lives?
No.
Okay. Do you think Dava lives?
I could see... No, I think they're going to get her far away from everything now, so I think Dava lives.
Do you think Brock lives?
No.
Do you think Burton lives?
No.
Do you think Carrie lives?
Yes. I'm seeing a kind of hiding in a cabin with Hood slash whomever for the rest of their lives.
Do you think Agent Dawson lives? Of the new Eliza Dushku's character,
the
girl who's hung up with the serial killer right now?
Yeah, her heart gets eaten.
Does the serial killer live?
No.
Do you think that Sugar lives?
Yes.
So you're telling me that Hood, Sugar, Job, and Carrie all live?
Yes.
I think I'll be disappointed if one of those four doesn't go down.
Be disappointed, but I would...
Because it's too predictable if all the good guys live.
Not really, because there's going to be good guys die in this. There's going to be people that, like Brock.
Well, you said Brock would die?
Yeah, I said Brock would die.
Brock dies. That's
I think the original
Do you think the white supremacist guy dies? The white supremacist cop?
Yes, both white. But they die in some kind of weird embrace.
There's only one way a dogfight ends.
Right. Except both of them can die.
Okay.
They left that out. There's actually two ways a dogfight can end. There's always a winner, or they both die.
Okay.
And I think that's what happens with those two. And the or the cop dies, the other one survives, goes to jail, and the wife is pregnant with the cop's baby.
Oh, okay.
I've given this a lot of thought. Yeah. Way too much thought. I might just enjoy the last two. No, but it's on tonight on Cinemax. And if you're not on that show, man, just get caught up. You'll thank us. Everybody who has gotten on that show has thanked us. And it'll be fun to talk to Maddie next week before the last episode, and especially if he has a lot of fun things to talk about after this week, because I have a sneaking suspicion somebody's getting chopped up and he's doing it.
Okay.
If I had to bet, there's going to be fewer white supremacists at the end of this episode than there were at the beginning, and by a significant number.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back, we'll get to that list we talked about a lot more. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.